Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. And we strongly recommend you go to purdyinsurance.com because we want you to go to the best in the business. If your insurance needs happen to be auto, home, life, business, or all of the above, go to Purdy Insurance. They're going to get you the exact coverage you need, and they're going to get you the best price possible because they will search to find you the best price. If you need updating, they'll take care of it, and they'll do it right away. They'll keep you updated on what the updates happen to be. And if there's ever a claim, God forbid, well, they'll go to work as if it happened to them. They're your partner in this. They are the pros in insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Talk about the pros. Great product lines. Great sales staff. Great service department. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Northwestern is up late at Iowa, and then Jordy Bohannon lets loose.
Connor McCaffrey looking, gets it into Bohannon. Bohannon, a three to win it.
Good!
Wow. 3/10 of a second left. Are you kidding me? And here he comes. He lobs it to center court. Derek Carden with a catch, a shot to win it. No good! No good! Oh, my! He hit the iron, and it caromed off the glass, and he had a much better look at it than I thought he would. Unbelievable. Chris Collins and Northwestern absolutely shell-shocked as they leave the floor.
My good friend Gary Dolphin, one of the really great guys out there, and a little bit of Bobby Hanson. By the way, Bobby Hanson, who played on those Bulls teams with Jordan, Bobby Hanson is about as down-to-earth and unassuming and just a great guy as you'd ever want to be. And the same thing with Gary. Dolph is just an awesome guy. It's their call last night. And the flip part is I feel bad for Dave Ennett. You know, Dave is also one of those awesome guys that we've had on the show many times, and he's the Northwestern play-by-play guy. Remember, we had him on before the Big Ten football championship game. Yeah, it's hard for him to call a game like that at the end. Exciting for Gary. All right. We'll have Matt Leon on the show in the final half hour today. So let's take a moment to talk about the Alliance of American Football. It started up over the weekend. So why would we take some time to talk about a league that is not the NFL? Well, in the opening weekend, there was enough of a curiosity factor about the league where on Saturday night, in the 9 to 11 time slot, the Alliance of American Football had a higher rating than the NBA. 2.1 to 2.0. Now, the NBA will jump in right away, and say, you know, because the Alliance was on CBS. ABC, not ESPN, ABC had the NBA game, Oklahoma City and Houston. And the NBA, of course, jumps in. Oh, no, wait a minute. Actually, it was tied 2.1. That's when you add in 11 to 11:15 where the NBA game peaked. And that's how they caught the Alliance. Remember, when the XFL started 18 years ago, the The first game had a 9.5 rating. And then that, and everybody said, oh, wow, everybody's interested. Look at this. Wow, groundswell. And it didn't take off that way. The XFL went down, lasted one season, was finished. So the Alliance is off to a really good start in terms of the curiosity factor and some interest. The question is whether they'll be able to sustain it. The level of play, the defenses, I thought, played really, really well. The only two offensive units that I looked at in the snippets of games that I watched, only Orlando and Arizona, I felt, looked like they were on the path to being good offensive units. The quarterback playing this league, Christian Hackenberg, did not play well yesterday. Let's just be straight about it. He didn't play well. The quarterback play in the league, right now there isn't a single quarterback that is playing in this league that would be beyond the third emergency quarterback for the NFL. After 5 weeks, maybe we'll have a different judgment. I'm just talking about initial impressions. The defenses are all really good. I wouldn't doubt that there's 20 to 30 players in this league that are going to be on NFL teams next season, getting themselves back to the NFL or getting their first opportunity. But I think 20 to 30 players right away, and that'll be good for the league, because when they talk about said player, well, you know, he really got himself back on track in the Alliance. That's going to give, in the fall, publicity to the Alliance and what they're doing. Next year, the XFL comes in. This is where it becomes interesting. Oliver Luck is running it. Bob Stoops is now announced as one of the eight coaches. But there's also another factor here. And the factor is this. Will the XFL be the league that looks at an underclassman in college and decides to sign them? The Alliance won't do that. The Alliance won't do that. They like the idea that they can develop talent and be a springboard either to the NFL or back to the NFL. Some of these guys have played there before. The question will be, and it's with the XFL, if they are the ones to look at a true sophomore or someone who just completed their freshman season and offer them a chance to play in the XFL. And I think that is one to look at. Because they are not beholden to the NFL in any way. And I think that that is something to take a long, hard look at as to whether or not they will do that. And it would have to be, again, what's the first name you're going to think of that they would attempt to go after if capital I, capital F, if they went that direction. Trevor Lawrence. So,
yeah, speaking of quarterbacks, I'm just curious how the remaining 9 weeks of the regular season of the Alliance will go. And great O-line play and great quarterback play go hand in hand. You know, we talk about all the quarterbacks in the National Football League and how it drops off. You know, like when you go, when you break them down 10 by 10 by 12, and they go, okay, you got 32 in the NFL. Boy, I wonder how these quarterbacks are going to be in the Alliance.
Yeah, I don't know. It, to me, I don't see anybody that I saw this weekend. Now, again, this is one guy. This is one week. 5 weeks from now, I may have a different opinion. I don't see anybody this weekend that made me feel like they'd be the number two for somebody.
I told you this during a break, too. I ran into a buddy of mine yesterday morning. I was getting groceries, and we were talking about football. Our wives were getting, let's move it along here.
Right.
She hates it when I go to the grocery store with her. But we were talking about the Alliance, and with that, he goes, well, I can't wait to see Christian play today, see how he'll do. Felt really bad for him. I think someone may have could have, you know, should have tapped him on the shoulder and say, hey, you got a hot mic. We're hearing what you're saying.
But you know what? But this is something the, a couple of years ago Christian and I talked about. When he was still here at Penn State, you know, he always had those moments on the sideline that were captured on cameras, right? So when I was talking to him one day about this. I said, Christian, look, you got to realize something. I said, they're going to have a camera on the coach and they're going to have a camera on you. I said, they're waiting for you to do something. I said, and they're following you wherever you go. I said, you just got to keep it in check. Pick up the phone and talk to Ricky upstairs, because Ricky was upstairs at that point. I said, talk to Ricky upstairs as to what's going on, because Ricky was the quarterback coach at the time. I said, you got to talk to them. I said, or talk to John. But I said, but you can't show it, because the camera's going to pick up on it. Well, this is even worse. I mean, for goodness sakes, he knew he was mic'd up. So it's not like he and I haven't had this talk. Okay, now let's get to the NCAA and the XFL, and the XFL's your way. Oliver Luck said, quote, our league is not subject to the NFL's three-year rule. We could do it. We want to be smart about it. I'm a big believer in college athletics, because obviously he was at West Virginia all those years as AD, and college football. I also realize there are lots of different situations for young people. Some are academically ineligible. Some need to earn money. Some transferred and have to sit out a year, may not want to do that. Everybody's got somewhat of a unique circumstance, and there are players like Trevor Lawrence, who's an incredibly gifted kid. Who knows if he'd be interested? This is where the XFL is going to come into play. Why did the NHL change its rules on drafting 18-year-olds? The NHL rule used to be 21. Why did they change to 18? Because the WHA was signing 18s. I saw Wayne Gretzky play one time in person, and it was not with the Edmonton Oilers. I saw Wayne Gretzky play with the Indianapolis Racers. His WHA team. You know what his number was with Indianapolis? It was not 99. You know what his number was? 17. Why was it 17? Because that was his age. Because, rival leagues force established leagues to do different things. Rival leagues force established leagues to do different things. The tryout thing. Why do you think there's a three-point shot in the NBA? Because the ABA had it. Why do you think 18-year-olds get drafted in the NHL? Because the WHA did it. Why do you think the NFL's adopted so many of the rules it's adopted over the years? Two-point conversions, things like that. Challenge flags. Challenge flags are an offshoot from the USFL. Two-point conversions from the AFL, the USFL, and college. Everybody else was doing it except the NFL. If the XFL starts going out and say they sign a couple of impact underclassmen that would not be eligible for the NFL draft, it is going to have a profound effect on the next collective bargaining agreement for the NFL. Remember, nobody left early from college to go to the NFL until Herschel Walker went to the USFL. Then suddenly, the NFL had a change of heart about when people could go. Herschel Walker was a true junior when he left. He wasn't going to wait the extra year when he could get the money now. Subsequently, the NFL now has a rule where if you've gone 3 years, true junior, redshirt sophomore, you can go. But who's to say the XFL doesn't sign a couple of hotshot college players that still have another year of eligibility to get to the third year? Who's to say they don't sign a couple of people like that to then try and hit a home run with their league, which could then have a dramatic effect on the NFL, which could then have a dramatic effect on college football? As Oliver Luck said, quote, "Our league is not subject to the NFL's three-year rule." The Alliance, by the way, is going to stick with whatever the rule the NFL has for three-year players they're going to do. But to me, that was one of the biggest statements. It was one of the more underplayed but biggest statements last week. I mean, did you even know about it till now? Most of you probably did not know until I talked about the XFL deal for next year until now, that they would be open to it. Sean, you probably didn't know that.
I did not know that, and truth be told, I also can't remember the third developmental league. We talked about it on a show before the holidays that
the
Ricky
Pacific
Williams
league.
And the Ricky Williams and Terrell Owens, they're going to start a third league as well, but I can't remember the name of it. It was one of the outside the line shows on ESPN when they broke it down and unveiled the info.
I think it's the two-hand touch league. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. You almost feel like college football is at a very interesting point. I wouldn't say crossroads. I don't think that would be the right way to say it. They're just at an interesting point right now, where they've got to gain control over, as much control as they can over certain things. They can't control what the XFL does. They can't control what the NFL and the NFL Players Association does. But they can control themselves. And my biggest concern about college football deals with all the waivers they're handing out. Instead of making transfers sit out that have not graduated, I think that to me is a big item. I don't know what they're afraid of. In other words, the bottom line I'd say to them is quite simple. We have rules. This is a rule. Been in place for a long time. You don't want to abide by the rule, you don't have to play. Go play summer pro ball. Go to the XFL. Whatever.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. You can't do that unless you're really good at it. You just can't. Longevity means something. Well, maybe not for the play-by-play guy at Penn State, but I mean, for everything else, longevity means something. You must be doing something right. And that's Purdy Insurance. Auto, home, life, business, or all of the above. They'll take care of your insurance needs. They'll find you the right insurance, best price, update you if there's a claim. Wow. You'll be so impressed by how hard they work for you. Customer comes first. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Talking about a hard-working group, Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Talk about customer service. Sunbury Motors, the kings of it. All right. Part about the XFL, again, the Oliver Luck quote went way under the radar. Way under the radar when it comes to the XFL. Okay? It's one of the single most important quotes I've heard all year, and maybe one of the single most important we've heard this year. Because what is that going to mean for college football? What is that going to mean for the awesome freshman that suddenly feels like, maybe I can give it a shot? What does that mean for the awesome sophomore that says, yeah, I've done enough college football. I'm going to go make myself some money. XFL will take me. That door is open based on the Oliver Luck quote. Don't take it lightly. We never take Matt Leon lightly. Matt, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. Sixers took out the Lakers in the end with relative ease yesterday. So what has Harris now meant? It's only a couple of games, but what's he meant to the continuity of the team?
I think he means a lot. I think you're looking now at arguably the best starting five in the East. And it's too early to say maybe the whole NBA, but they're definitely in that conversation now. Harris gives them a legitimate guy who can hit the three, I think 43% from three. He's plugged right in, had 22, 6, and 6 yesterday. They're a very dangerous team. I know some people around here like to see them add a little bit more to the bench, maybe in the buyout market or something like that. But as they're constructed right now, they are definitely to face in the playoffs, because I think the Sixers are primed to make a serious run this year.
All right, Ben Simmons, under the category of entertainment, took his first 3-point shot of the season yesterday. Didn't matter, but I know the Sixers want him to try it more, and he worked on that shot during the off season. If he could hit a couple of those, what does that then do to the floor?
I mean, it makes the spacing would probably be next to impossible to guard. I'm of the concern. I don't think it's nearly as big a deal as people are making it out to be, especially now that you've inserted Harris, and now you've got, you know, Harris, Butler, and Redick that can all shoot the three. And even I'm not a huge fan of Embiid shooting the three, but he has the ability.
Yeah.
So having one of the best facilitators in basketball that maybe doesn't shoot from three, but when you've got other guys that are very viable options, you know, I don't think it's that big a deal. And honestly, at this point in his career where he is shooting, do you really want Ben Simmons shoot? Would you rather have Ben Simmons shooting a three so that everybody can say he did, or Tobias Harris or JJ? Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's one of those things you feel like that people are almost pining for just to say they can have it, when I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. It's not like Ben Simmons is not going to become a 42% 3-point shooter overnight.
Right.
So where they are right now and how they're built, how about we just let Ben Simmons be Ben Simmons and take our chances with the other four guys shooting threes?
I agree with that, although in principle, I do want my point guard or point forward still to have that ability, because I also feel that now I, as a defender, can lay off a bit and maybe change a passing lane, because I know you're not going to take that shot. I mean, I'm just talking about long term. I mean, I'm not saying he has to go out and take 20 threes this week. I don't think he should take any the rest of the year, because right now that's not his game. So I understand that. But I'm saying in principle, I sure would like to have my point guard who's got the ball in his hands, or my point forward, to have that shot, because I also think it does change spacing.
I don't disagree with you, but I think he also makes up for it. You know, he is obviously subpar when it comes to shooting from distance, but he is so above average at getting to the rim. I think
he's
that,
awesome.
Yeah, you just kind of ride that, you know, and you play the cards you're dealt, and you ride the skill set that is there. So, you know, I'm sure there are certain games and certain matchups where you'll go, boy, if Ben was a more consistent perimeter shooting, it could really make a difference. But I think, for the most part, I think they're in a good place right now.
Plus, with his size, he sees the floor better than anybody out there anyway, just on pure size. So a smaller point guard doesn't see the floor the way he does, or the passing lane. So look, what's a plus for one guy is, you know, not a plus for somebody else. I mean, it's really that simple. Now, let's get to, you mentioned Embiid. He's going to go to the All-Star game. You talked about, occasionally he shoots a three, which is fun. But when you watch the other facets of his game, what really sticks out?
I mean, you look at yesterday, what he had, 37 points on 16 shots. I mean, that's hard to do. I mean, that's really, that's special. I think, he's got 23 games of 30 points and 10 rebounds, and he's gotten to the point where you just kind of take that for granted, and we don't appreciate how incredible that is, you know, to be putting up those types of numbers consistently. And I still subscribe to the fact I think he's still ascending. Like, this is not peak Joel Embiid. Like, we are what we're seeing is what we'd all hope, that if he can stay healthy, boy, what could he do? So if we can get 3 to 5 healthy years in his prime here of Joel Embiid, my goodness. I mean, you know, there wasn't the old story that Wilt Chamberlain once led the league in assists because he just wanted to. He wanted to prove a point.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You almost kind of get that with Embiid, that level of talent, that level of understanding, where you feel like he might just try to do some things stat-wise just to prove that he can, or because he gets irritated if somebody says on Twitter that he can't do. You know what I mean? Like, he's that much of a transcendent talent, and it's really fun to watch.
No, he is a special talent, and I agree with you. He is not at the point where you feel like he's topped out. I mean, not even close. I mean, because a couple of years that he sat out, it's still taken him a while to get a total feel for how to play the NBA game, and he's really good.
Yeah, and you know, now he is surrounded, you know, by plus talent everywhere. You know, and who do you help off? Well, we talk about Ben Simmons, You know, who are you rolling off to double team Joel Embiid? I mean, you're going to have to do it, but you're going to leave J.J. Redick? Okay, he'll hit his first 6 3-pointers. Like, it's really, you know, they're going to put other teams in a very, very difficult spot. And specifically, it kind of all starts with Embiid. How do you attack him, and how do you try to, I don't even want to say neutralize, keep him under control, and then you build your team defense off of that, you know? But I don't know how you do it, and it's just going to get worse as he continues to get better and better.
We'll shift gears now. Why are the Flyers playing better?
Goaltending. It's amazing. This is a franchise, you know, I say kind of tongue-in-cheek, but has been looking for a goalie for 30 years.
Since Bernie Parent.
I'd give you Hextall his first couple years.
He was more of
not long term, not like Perron, but for a couple years there.
Hextall's more of a scorer than a.
but when they had Hextall his first couple years, they had a guy that you knew you had a chance to win every night.
Yeah,
and
they went to the Stanley Cup final, by the way, with Hextall. So let's remember that.
Yeah, but I think, you know, they brought up young Carter Hart and his backup, you know, another youngster, Anthony Stolarz. Have really, really played well. And it kind of builds off of that. And then all of a sudden, you know, confidence starts to build. And now this is a team that, you know, a month and a half ago was finding ways to lose. And now all of a sudden is finding ways to win. The one thing I will put in the yeah, but category, 9-0-1 in their last 10. So it's at 19 out of a possible 20 points.
Right.
And they are still 6 points out of a playoff spot. To kind of, you know, how far deep they were, it's not realistic to think they're going to be able to continue at a pace like this. And when you have a run like this and it still only gets you within shouting distance of the playoffs, that's concerning, just because eventually there is going to be a leveling out, because, like I said, you can't maintain this. And they just had so much room to make up. You wonder if it won't just tamper the rest of the season as far as trying to get over that hump. But a big one tonight, you know, this is kind of a 4-point game with the Penguins, who right now are holding down that second and final wild card playoff spot. So if you can win this one, you know, you pulled it within 4 as opposed to dropping to 8. So,
all right, it may not be Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, but what did it mean to the Phillies, and what reaction to the fans of JT Realmuto?
I think most people are very excited about it. I think a lot of people think they overspent. I don't disagree, but I think when you've got the chance to get really good players, it's worth it. I feel like I'm kind of in the minority. I feel like the Phillies have had a really, really good offseason.
So do I.
And I think the reason it doesn't get the attention and appreciation is because the Harper and Machado signings still are out there, and people kind of base their whole expectations of this offseason under the idea that they were going to get at least one, if not both, of those guys. And if they don't get either one of them, then it's a failure. And I think there would be disappointment and you would be a little frustrated. But I think if you take a half a step and look what they have done, they've made themselves a much more dangerous offensive team when you look at Gene Segura. Even Andrew McCutchen, who I know we all kind of forget about because it feels like in baseball terms it happened, you know, like 9 years ago. But he was like the first big sign of the offseason. And then you add Realmuto. You know, you've added three quality players to surround guys like Reese Hoskins and Odubel Herrera and stuff like that. It's a much longer lineup. It's a much more versatile lineup. They are a much better defensive team, which I think is something that doesn't get talked about enough, because I think one of the problems they had last year and when they kind of fell apart down the stretch is defense caught up to them because they just had so many guys playing out of position. Short story long, I think they had a very good offseason. I think a signing of them would put it over the moon. But I think even if they fall short on those two guys, this is a team that I think fans can look at and say is significantly better than it was a year ago.
And there's a domino to the McCutchen signing. It may not excite the populace, but it puts Reese Hoskins where you should be at first base.
Yeah, and, you know, Andrew McCutchen's going to give you 550 professional at bat.
That's exactly right.
He's not the player he was 5 years ago. We all get that. I understand that. But, you know, I think people get so caught up in the, you know, they want nine all-stars, and that's not really how it works. McCutchen is a great clubhouse guy. And like I said, he knows his role. And in Citizens Bank Park, I say he's not the player he was 5 years ago. But you know what? He might put up a stat line better than we think because of getting a hit at Citizens Bank Park and that short porch and left for 81 games. So.
Yeah, not going to hurt. All right, Matt, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Always a pleasure.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Orange out tonight at Soika. Lehigh and Bucknell. Big basketball game coming up. By the way, how about Virginia basketball? They lost on Sunday night, or excuse me, they lost Saturday night in a 6 o'clock game at home to Duke. Now, Duke, which has been up and down shooting threes all season, shot the lights out. That was Saturday night in Charlottesville. Virginia has to play again tonight. They've got North Carolina tonight. ESPN game. I believe the game's in Chapel Hill. They play Saturday. They had one day to get ready, travel, and go. Oh, man. What's really bothered me about the television, but television is awesome. Okay, we get to see every game. We got a chance to watch Penn State, Ohio State wrestling Friday night. Penn State hockey, we can see every Penn State basketball game, every Penn State football game, which is great. But what really bothered me in the last contract is that I was hoping that you're the Big Ten, you're a hot commodity, okay? Get some control over your TV. Get control over it. And the Big Ten got no control over it. Well, the ACC's in the same boat. I mean, Virginia has to play at home on a Saturday, and they have to play again tonight. They go from playing Duke one night to North Carolina 49 hours later. What? There's something not right about that. This is not the NBA. Where that's all you do for a living. Now you got to start realizing that as badly as you want TV, they want you too. They need the programming.
Yeah, after joining this show, I've learned a lot about logistics and schedules. So I'd be curious as to like when they would head down to North Carolina, probably sometime.
Well, you had less than 24 hours
after the.
My guess is that they played the game. You're allowed to travel 24 hours ahead, so you can't leave right away, unless you're on a continuous road trip, and that hardly ever happens. My guess is they probably left yesterday at 11 o'clock or noon. They probably practiced last night in Chapel Hill, did a shoot around today, and that's how they did it. They probably, the practice yesterday would have been light, and it may have been a ballroom practice.
At least they didn't have too far to travel, like into a different time zone.
Yeah, that I understand. You still have to travel, which means you still have to go to the airport. You still have to get on the plane. You still got to go through all that mumbo-jumbo doing it. I mean, even though Ohio State's an easy trip, I mean, the flight back was 40 minutes. But I still walked in my door at 12:30 in the morning. And I didn't have to go to class the next day. And people say it shows. A lot of people say I have no class. All right, Shikellamy tonight, Southern Columbia. Dave, the Chief Richie. Kevin, the Hurt Suit. He's the Hurt, right? Or is he the Suit?
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.